Well, good afternoon. This is Rich DeMond. I'm a director of the Senior Statesman of Virginia and a past president. I welcome you to the meeting. Dr. Kent will join us momentarily. But this is the 25th anniversary this month of the first meeting of the Senior Statesman of Virginia. It actually started by five folks, including one of the members that is attending right at, for this meeting. They started in the fall of 95, and then first meeting was in February of 1996. The goal of the Senior Statesman of Virginia, as you probably know, is to present important social, governmental, and educational issues to the senior of our area. We are very much looking forward to meeting in person when the pandemic is under control at the new center at Belvedere. I welcome you to join the Senior Statesman of Virginia to cover the cost of the Zoom, publicity, insurance, web cost, etc. Applications are on our website, which is seniorstatesman.org. And our next meeting will be on Wednesday, March 10th, and it will be led by Allison Ball, who will talk about the immigration policy of the United States, its history, as well as where we are today. I've seen the presentation. It's absolutely fascinating. This is run as a webinar, so I won't be able to see you, but you'll be able to see us. But you can ask questions, and I see one has already come in, and the Q&A function at the bottom. And so at any time, just punch in to Q&A, and I'll be able to see the questions, and I'll ask Dr. Kent as they based on the important. So that I don't waste his time and our time, let me go ahead and introduce him. And then when he joins us, I will tell him that I've already introduced. Oh, here he comes right now. Welcome.
Hi there. Dr. Kent will be right here in 1 minute.
Okay, I just started the meeting and I was going to introduce him so I don't take up his time, if that's all right.
Sure.
Wonderful.
Just 1 moment. He'll be right back.
Super. Thank you. Dr. Kent's the Executive Vice President of Health Affairs at the University of Virginia. He's responsible for overseeing all of UVA's health operations and reports directly to the president. A researcher, educator, and a physician, Dr. Kent is internationally recognized as a leader in academic medicine. He has some of the highest honors in academic medicine, including being a member of the National Academy of Medicine, which is one of the foremost honors that you can receive in medicine. He's the former chair of the American Board of Surgery prior to joining, and welcome, Dr. Kent. I was just starting the introduction so that you'll have plenty of time.
Well, make it short. There's okay. That exciting.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. Prior to joining UVA, which he joined just before the pandemic, he served as dean of the Ohio State University College of Medicine. He's been a funded researcher for 25 years, has over 325 articles and 65 book chapters, and served on many editorial boards. He received his medical degree from the University of California, San Francisco, where he also completed his surgical residency in vascular surgery, and his research has been on delivery of drugs on a microscopic level to the heart. He's completed his research and clinical fellowship under in vascular surgery at Brigham and Women's Hospital. But I want to make a personal comment, Dr. Kent, and that is, for all of those of our members that are over 75, We are very grateful that UVA stepped up and started vaccinating on January the 18th, those over 75. And all of my friends that have been there and all of our members that have told me about it said it was extremely professional, well-organized, and seamless. So thank you. Looking forward to your comments.
Well, thanks so much for having me with you today. I really appreciate it. And it's been a privilege and a great opportunity to be part of UVA Health, to be part of the Charlottesville community, and be part of really a great university that I know that you're all closely attached to. And so, as mentioned, I started my role here February 1st. And, you know, when you're new and everybody's excited, you're here, you're doing high fives and meeting people and thinking about the future. And so we did that for 3 weeks, right? And then COVID came. And so the adventure changed in a pretty substantial way. And I don't think any of us would have ever anticipated what this last year has brought us. But it's been a challenging, but I think really great year and an opportunity for UVA Health to really shine and be successful. And so I thought maybe in my comments, I would begin by just telling you a little bit about UVA Health and what it is, who we are, and then relate some of the activities that we've had underway over the last year, and then maybe just spend a moment on the future. And then would love to spend more time in conversation, hear your questions, and interact in any way that might be beneficial. So UVA Health is a school of medicine, a school of nursing, a medical center, hospital and clinics, and a physician organization. So those are the four components that make up UVA Health. If you give me the opportunity to brag a little bit about the various parts, I'll begin with the School of Medicine, ranked 29th out of 170 school of medicines in the country. It takes a 3.95 GPA in the 96th percentile in the MCAT to even be looked at for our medical school. The students are extraordinary. An incredible amount of research conducted there. Last year, we conducted about $236 million worth of externally funded research. The growth has been about 15 to 20% over the last 6 years. So a really high level, nationally recognized organization. Our School of Nursing is ranked 15th out of over 500 schools of nursing across the country. Some of the teaching programs are ranked first in the country. And I won't go into the details, but just an extraordinary unit that attracts incredibly talented people across the nation for students. Our medical center, currently about 750 beds, 700 here at the acute care center, and then another 50 in a transitional care unit. We also have three hospitals that we co-own in Northern Virginia, so our footprint is expanding geographically. Ranked number one in the state of Virginia, but in many of our subspecialty programs, some of the best in the country. So I think an extraordinary medical center. And then our physician organization currently has about 1,100 physicians and providers. This is the part where I'll really brag. I am positive that we have some of the best doctors in the nation here, not just doctors, but APPs and providers. The quality of the care here, and I've been at some great institutions over the years, benchmark to others is extraordinary. One of the parts that coming to UVA that has been the most fun for me is the recognition of the talent that we have here, which makes me incredibly optimistic about the future, because I feel with this kind of talent, there's nothing that we can't conquer. There's no distance that we might not go. So that's a little bit about UVA Health. If you look at the whole group, we're about 14,000 strong. So, you know, a reasonably large health system. Our yearly revenue is about $3 billion. If we expand further in Northern Virginia, which I think is likely to happen, it might be around $3.5 billion. So a fairly large health system, I think, with a lot of success. Maybe spending a minute on COVID. So we'll go back to March when I think all of us were almost dumbfounded. There was this virus, and it was moving rapidly, and we were afraid, and we didn't know what was in front of us. I feel the leadership team at UVA Health and across the university came together in a way that's allowed us to be incredibly successful over the last year. And some of the accolades that I want to spend a moment with, we were the first institution in the state of Virginia to develop an internal COVID test. The story there is kind of fun, rolling a PCR machine out of one lab into another and, you know, a little of this and a little of that. And then we had a COVID test. Amy Mathers and Chris Miskolic and the testing group just get credit for this. Because we had the first test in the state, and the larger vendors were taking 10 days for turnaround, and our turnaround was 6 hours, we were at one point providing testing for over 35 hospitals across the state and region so that they could better care for their patients. That's UVA Health really taking the lead. Carrying on in the testing theme, we started community testing back around the late fall. And we're out in the community 5 days a week, about 150 tests every time we're out. We go to the community. We actually have this little van that we take out, and we unload, and then we test in the community. I think it's very clear the more you test, the earlier that you can find the diagnosis, the safer we all are. And I feel like the fairly low COVID numbers we have in Charlottesville versus other places are in part related to our community testing. Another area, so we had this new bed tower that we were creating, a new set of 84 beds. It was supposed to be done, I think, late August. And when COVID came, we actually hastened the development finishing of the bed tower and made 84 negative pressure rooms. Negative pressure rooms are really critical for COVID, particularly in ventilated patients. And we stood that up 3 months before it was supposed to be. And then it's allowed us an opportunity to cohort of COVID patients during this crisis in a place that's separate from our non-COVID patients, which has been an incredible advantage. It's also allowed us to take better care of our COVID patients. And so something that I think is sort of a bragging right, Invisient, one of the medical indices, we can compare our mortality of our COVID patients to the mortality around the country. We're in the top decile amongst all academic medical centers in terms of our mortality, which is just extraordinary, the care that I think our team has provided. We brought our students back, and you know that was the university, but we were at the side of the university in terms of testing and such that allowed us to be successful. And then maybe I'll just finish with vaccine rollout. I'm so proud of that. I'd like to say that I had something to do with it, but it was our vaccine team that we put together, Wendy Horton, Kosti Seyfried, and others that did all this work. We've now vaccinated almost 37,000 people in the community over the last couple of months. At one day last week, we vaccinated 2,500 people in one day. We just opened up a new site that's specifically devoted to UVA Health's contribution. I think it was at where Big Lots used to be. So we've named it Big Shots. I don't know whose idea it was, but it seems aptly named Big Shots. And our capacity and our ability to vaccinate there is extraordinary. We're slowing down this week because we don't have as much vaccine. I mean, VDH and the state provides the vaccine. And so if we have it, we get it in people's arms the next day, and we're just limited by the number of doses that we have. As I'm sure all of you know, VDH provides the direction of who we vaccinate and when, but we stand ready as a health system. We think we can vaccinate, if we were called on next week, up to 3,000 people a day with the infrastructure that we put in place. And so we're really proud of that. Maybe just to finish up and switch from COVID, I'm really excited about the future of UVA Health. It's just an extraordinary organization, and whatever we've accomplished over the last few years, which I think is fairly substantial, I know we can do more. To that end, within the next couple of months, we're going to launch into strategic planning. The health system hasn't had a strategic plan in about 10 years, and I am really excited about that. We want to imagine what we can be, how strong we can grow. If I told you that there was one aspiration I have, and I know that it's shared amongst many of the leaders in our organization, is although we have a national reputation and we're thought of as a strong nationally ranked academic medical center. I want to be amongst the elite, and I think we can. And there are so many things that we need to do to accomplish that, expand our geographic footprint, grow some of our programs beyond where they currently are, expand our service in a significant way. But that's all going to be part of strategic planning. We're looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to an incredibly bright future. So maybe I'll be quiet at this point. I'd love to have a conversation with you if there are other areas that I didn't cover that would be worth some conversation. I'd love to touch on it. But thanks again for inviting me. Really appreciate it. And again, an honor to be part of UVA, part of UVA Health, and to help lead a great health system forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Kent. We've got a lot of questions that have already come in, and I want to start with one where you ended your presentation on, and that is the future of UVA Health. I understand that UVA has established a breast cancer care center over at Pantops, and all of us have seen the large orthopedic center on Ivy Road. Can you talk about those two in particular and what the thought process behind those will be in the future?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thanks for mentioning that. I was at the Breast Center for its grand opening, and it's an extraordinary facility. I mean, it really is. And the concept behind it is that, you know, breast cancer, breast care is really complicated, and it requires the input of multiple different kinds of specialists and different types of care, you know, radiology to chemotherapy and such. And we've created an environment where a patient can come and get all of that care in one setting, and it's seamless. The flow is really tremendous, and maybe that's the theme, right? As we make decisions about how we move forward as a health system, the patient has to be at the center point of the conversation and those decisions, and the focus of what we imagine will be. And so creating centers of excellence where somebody can receive the best care that's available, all in one location with multiple practitioners, I think is part of that theme. And our breast center would be emblematic of what I think we could produce. Our orthopedic facility is the same. It's not finished yet, but you know, I just went on a tour the other day. It's going to be extraordinary. And if any kind of problem, all the way from, you know, a need for rheumatology to physical therapy to, you know, the most complex of orthopedic surgeries, we'll be able to provide that for our patients in one location. And we're really excited about that. We'll do much more of that kind of work, both here in Charlottesville and outside of Charlottesville going forward. But I think the concepts are multidisciplinary care, best care for the patient, convenience. Those are the principles, and bringing care to the patients. You know, I think we'll have a number of efforts going forward where we bring care into the region. Now, many of you would kind of remember the days of the Ivory Tower, which is you know, the academic medical center, and the docs are all inside, and they hide inside, and the patients have to come to the docs. You know, that ended a long time ago. If you want to provide great care, you need to be in Harrisonburg, or you need to be in Louisa County, or you need to go out to where the patients are to provide that care. Now, maybe there's aspects of the care that require they come to Charlottesville, for sure, intervention, surgeries and such. But that care needs to be provided in the community, in the region, around the state. And so that's the philosophy I have. I don't take any credit for the Breast Center or Ivy Mountain, because those were created before I came, but it's that kind of concept that we're going to reinforce and expand moving forward.
Thank you. We've got many questions on COVID. One of the questions is, will UVA continue to use Blue Ridge Health District to send out surveys while UVA continues to make the appointments for the shots as they did for those over 75?
So I work in progress. One of the concepts here that's really important is that the health district, Blue Ridge, or the state, is in charge of vaccination. They ultimately, with some input from us and so many others, will make the decision about who's vaccinated. They'll be the gatekeeper in terms of the amount of vaccination that comes to our area. And, you know, when it comes to communication and that, they really are in the lead. And I have to say they've done a really great job. You have to imagine that the infrastructure for health departments in our country in February last year was de minimis, you know, worried about poisonings or, you know, I mean, you can imagine these random events that health departments took care of. And then they're front and center staged, wholly understaffed, not prepared for this sort of pandemic, not their fault. I mean, that's just how it turned out. And I have to give credit to our health department here in the Blue Ridge District, as well as across the nation. They've rallied to the cause, and I think have done a really excellent job of providing for their communities. And we've done everything we can possibly to partner with them. They've been very receptive, and the synergy between us has been very, very positive. So I, you know, this is almost a daily occurrence. You know, Wendy Horton, our hospital CEO, is on the on a call with Denise Bonds on a daily basis, you know, just trying to imagine what's tomorrow going to look like? What's the next week going to look like? How can we do better? How can we be stronger together? And it's been a great partnership. So we'll see what it looks like. The good news is that we all have a common goal, which is to care for our community. And I think thus far, our track record would suggest that we've done a reasonably good job, but more to come, you know, over the next few weeks and few months.
So the next question that came in, there was a question, the follow-up of that. UVA reached out to all those over 75 on January 18th. For those that are between 65 and 75 and with underlying medical conditions, should they just wait to be called, or what action should they be taking at this stage?
Now an apology. I'm a vascular surgeon. I just happen to be leading this health system, so I'm not an epidemiologist or an infectious disease expert. I wish I had Wendy Horton, our CEO, who really is the manager of this, at my side to tell me exactly what the paradigms are going forward. I know that you know, Category 1B includes people that are above 65, you know, that have medical comorbidities. And I know that we've had the opportunity to vaccinate some individuals in that category, but I would have to say that it would be VDH's decision about who and when, and we continue to have to rely on their advice. There was a point of time that the vaccine was given to us and that we were vaccinating our own health system people to make them safe. And by the way, over 80% of our health system people now are vaccinated. And I think it's a much safer environment as a result of that. But now the vaccine's going to VDH, and we're the ones that get the shots in the arm, and we take their advice and thoughts about what the next group we should vaccinate is. And they provide us lists, and we just make sure those people are vaccinated.
Thank you. And I do know on a personal basis, some friends of mine who are over 65 got on CVS's website yesterday morning at 6 a.m. and were able to secure an appointment. So I do know that there is the possibility of reaching out as well as waiting.
Yes.
Dr. Kent, you talked about UVA's lead in testing, but one of the folks just wrote in and said, I understand UVA is a clinical test site for the monoclonal antibody drug Regeneron, and that you're giving it only to patients with mild to moderate symptoms for 10 days or less, have weak immune systems, and are elderly. And the question is, why not give it to all COVID cases?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I have to be cautious, just because I'm not the expert in that trial. But what I have learned is that there's a limitation in the amount that's available. And there was a period of, you know, distribution to various health systems around the state and that. And my sense is that we don't have the availability to be able to accomplish that. But I just want to be careful, because I don't know that trial very well. And I hope what I'm saying is correct. We would probably have to bring one of our experts here to truly answer that question.
And another question came in, Dr. Kent, about a month ago, UVA announced it did not have capacity to care for all COVID patients and was looking at transporting patients to other medical centers. That was very alarming to the community. What happened then? And do you anticipate that happening again?
Well, I should be aware of that announcement, and I don't know that we actually ever announced that. Maybe I can tell you what our strategy is. So currently we have a number of COVID patients in the hospital. It's in the 40s. There was a time about a month ago that we were in the 80s. Again, we have a fairly large hospital. It's over 700 beds. And so we're quite capable of taking care of the volume of COVID patients that are in our region, as well as taking care of non-COVID patients. Maybe just a bit of an aside there. There are so many people out there that need our help that don't have COVID. It is just critical that we be able to have two balls up in the air at the same time and take care of both. And so in January, when we were challenged by an increased number of COVID patients and there was a surge, and you know everybody's aware of that, what we were able to do is a little bit of juggling, right? So we increased our IC capacity for more COVID patients, and then some of the elective surgery that we might have done we've delayed. Now that the COVID numbers are smaller, we're able to do as much surgery as is needed and take care of the COVID patients at the same time. But we have a very detailed, thoughtful, continuously updated process for being able to almost on a daily basis regulate ourselves so that we can take care of everyone in need, whether they be COVID patients or non-COVID patients. If the numbers increase, it means that we might have to delay the care of the people that can have elective care somewhat. But we have no concerns about our capacity or our ability to continue to serve both the COVID and the non-COVID population.
Super. How soon after my second COVID-19 vaccination can I visit my extended family, all of whom have contracted COVID-19? And let me broaden the question to include families that haven't all contracted COVID-19.
Yeah, so that's a great question, a really important one. And I'm glad we're able to spend some time on it. So now there are quite a number of people in our community that have had COVID. And beginning to have at least a subset of our community that's been vaccinated. And there's this intense desire to go back to normal. I mean, and why not? You know, we all have that in our personal lives, this desire to go back to normal. Our advice at this point is to stay the course, continue to social distance, continue to wear the mask, continue not to travel unless it's absolutely necessary. If you are traveling, make sure that you connect with small numbers of people. We believe that none of that should change at this point. And there are lots of reasons for it. You know, some that are simple is that there are a certain subset of people that develop COVID that don't continue to have immunity that can develop it again. There's a certain subset of people that are vaccinated that don't develop immunity. The other problem, if you think about it, is if we ask people to self-identify, there'll be a lot of people that probably haven't been vaccinated or never had COVID that will wander around without masks or be part of large social gatherings. And there's no way that we can monitor that individually in our personal life or even here at the health system. So the other part is that, you know, there's these variants out there. And there is an entire clarity about, you know, the efficacy of the vaccine against some of those variants. They're unbelievably contagious and such. And so we're not done with this. I mean, I feel so much better in February than I did in January. And you know, each month it's getting better. And my way of describing it is that we are on the last chapter. It's just an unbelievably long chapter. I mean, it's going to take us a long time to finish this up. And so one of the reasons that things are better is that we have some vaccine, but we actually followed some of our policies, social distancing and masking and that, and that's why we're better. Now is not the time to let our guard down. I personify this virus, I mean, this sort of evil virus that is out there waiting for us to make a mistake. I mean, just out there waiting for us to make a mistake. And that virus is saying, okay, let your guard down now because I'll come back. And it will. So yeah, I think we need to stay the course, do the things that we're doing now, not make any changes there will be a time, probably several months away, when I think we can head in a direction back to normal.
So here's a very practical, logistical question. I'm scheduled for my second Pfizer shot tomorrow at the University of Virginia in the Education Resource Center. With the forecast of snow, what should I do?
Well, so there's something about Virginia and snow that I haven't quite figured out. Now, this is a guy that spent 11 years in Wisconsin. So I guess I don't have any sympathy for people in Virginia that are afraid of snow.
Well, maybe, I guess the question is, should they try to make it in, or will they be called? Their appointments been postponed, or what?
Yeah, no, I apologize. I was just.
No, I understand.
I've enjoyed the fear of snow in Virginia. Just to that end, our Big Shot Center opened on a Sunday morning. Where when I went out to get my usual Bodo's Bagels, Bodo's was closed. Can you believe it? Bodo's Bagels was closed. But we opened our Big Shot Center and vaccinated about 500 people in the midst of a snowy. So the answer to the question, I don't know. It tends to be that with the current leadership in place, we stay open in the midst of snow. But I don't know what the storm is going to bring, and we'll make decisions and we'll notify people if it turns out that we won't be accessible tomorrow. So absolutely.
What does Dr. Kent think of the ethics of Virginia Department of Health's decision to allocate only 50% of the available vaccines to phase 1B subgroup that experienced 80% of the COVID deaths?
Well, I think the short answer is that there's no right answer. There's nobody quite knows what the right strategy should be. We've never been here before. I will say, being in my role, even though the health system doesn't get to make the decision about who's vaccinated, I'm lobbied on a daily basis. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount I've lobbied. We should be vaccinated people that are in their 40s that have severe comorbidities and deficiencies in their immune system. We should be vaccinating indigent parts of our communities. So there are probably about 30 different opinions out there. And that's probably not true. There's probably 100 different opinions out there. I don't know which of any of them is right. In the end, I think we just need to make some decisions and move forward. And I give VDH credit for being definitive, making the decisions, and trying to do the best they possibly can in a complicated environment.
Dr. Kent, you mentioned getting it to the indigent. The next question is, what is UVA doing to ensure that the Black and Brown communities are being vaccinated if they desire?
Yeah, again, these are VDH's decisions. They're not ours. This is an emphasis that's really important to us. We talk about it a lot. We think about it a lot and care deeply about those communities. And there have been several efforts that we have underway already to vaccinate some of our more needy communities, and another one coming up this Saturday. So when given the opportunity, we're there and we're vaccinating, and it's something that is important. You know, just to use that question as an opportunity to mention something else, I put together a group here of community members and people from the university to focus on a strategy to convince our community to be vaccinated. Now, probably most of the people on this call, given a moment's notice, would come in and get the vaccine. I would be amongst that group. But realize that there are large sects of our community that are still worried and concerned about the vaccine and don't want to be vaccinated. Maybe just as an example of that, and this is really interesting, we've vaccinated of our 15,000 people, only 82 or 83%. There are some people at the health system that haven't chosen to be vaccinated. And you think people that work in health every day. So if that's true, if there's a subset there that are worried about the vaccine, can you imagine what it is in our community? So this subgroup now is in the process of putting together messaging, and it'll be different kinds of messaging for different parts of our community to convince people that the vaccine is safe and that we'll all be safer if everyone can be vaccinated. And that's an important effort that we see in front of us, an opportunity to be better, and we're going to partner with VDH on that. So,
thank you. What suggestions do you have to help an 89-year-old with underlying health conditions get vaccinated? The Blue Ridge Health District questionnaire was filled out weeks ago and haven't heard.
I wish I could individually solve for, I would say, the dozens, if not hundreds of people that fit a similar description. And I understand how frustrating it is. I think it's just going to require patience on all of our parts. So just some numbers, the Blue Ridge Health District is probably over the next several weeks going to receive about 3,300 vaccines a week. You know, I just mentioned that we could probably vaccinate 2,500 to 3,000 people a day. We could use that vaccine in one day here at UVA Health. But the whole health district is going to receive, 3,300 doses of vaccine a week. And there's other counties that need to be serviced outside of ours. So I think we're going to have some challenging weeks over the next few weeks. I do see an opportunity that beyond that. There's no question that both Pfizer and Moderna are increasing their manufacturing, and I think this is going to be temporary, the reduction in vaccine. And then Johnson & Johnson's vaccines coming along. So I think it's patience. I wish I had an answer that was different than that, and I can't imagine the level of frustration if you're that person or if that person's in your family not to be vaccinated, but we'll get there. And as soon as we have the vaccine available, UVA Health will make sure that person is treated.
Thank you. Would Dr. Kent comment on the numbers of those who have died from COVID versus those who have died with COVID? Are we to believe the numbers in the press?
I'm not sure I completely understand the distinction between from and with.
You often hear people say that the deaths are nowhere near the numbers because those folks would have died from a heart attack or from cancer or something else anyway. And it was just, they just happened to have COVID at the same time.
You know, I think these people died of COVID. Many people that have died of COVID have been at the end stage of their life and they've had other comorbidities. But I learned a long time ago in healthcare, especially being a vascular surgeon, most of my clientele are elderly people, that I don't have a crystal ball. And so if somebody develops COVID and they die, that's a tragedy. That's something that we wish didn't happen. And that's something that we need to prevent from happening going forward. I've had plenty of 89-year-olds that looked like they were near death that carried his patients for another 10 years. So I'm a firm believer in what our healthcare system can provide people and how we can keep people alive. And so if we lose somebody to COVID, it's a loss, and we shouldn't let that happen. Hopefully that's a helpful answer.
Why does the vaccine work for immune system compromised people?
Well, I got to be careful on this one because again, the vascular surgeon speaking, not the infectious disease doc or the immunologist, I can only guess. It does. And even the most immune compromised person does have an immune system. If they didn't have an immune system, they wouldn't be alive. And so my guess is it's because it can, maybe not to the same degree, but create some level of immunity in even that person. I'll just finish by saying I'm talking way out of my boundaries now in terms of my knowledge about this, but that would be my guess.
So switching from COVID type questions, talk about the psych unit at UVA Hospital. Does it still exist? And if so, how many beds? Is it locked or open? And how has the pandemic impacted its operations?
So some of those questions I actually know the answers to, and others I don't. Does it still exist? Yes. Is it full? Absolutely. I've forgotten the number of beds in the unit, so I'm not going to be able to share that. Has COVID affected it? Yes, but I give credit to our leadership, Anita Clayton and others, for doing a wonderful job of trying to find a way to have it continue to be operational and care for people despite COVID. And we've just done a wonderful job of that. So I think a really wonderful service we provide here at UVA Health. It's up and running, it's flourishing, it's doing really well. And we've been able to navigate the COVID crisis fairly well.
And part of that question was, are they all open or are they all locked, or do you have both open and locked psych units?
And I actually do not know the answer to that. I probably should, but I don't.
Got it. How accurate are the COVID antibody tests in showing someone has had COVID?
I am told good would be the right answer. Imperfect, but good. And as you all know, the antibody tests have not been as widely used. And that's one of the reasons, is that, you know, sensitivity and specificity are much less perfect than the antigen test. And that's the reason for the lack of prevalence of that testing.
And one of our members just checked. He said there are appointments available this Saturday at Big Shot. Call 434-297-4VAX to schedule. So there are some appointments open for those over 65 or are in the 1B category.
Yeah,
maybe that'll help the 89-year-old.
I like that. Just a couple of thoughts. The first is, I think for everybody on this call, be creative, get the vaccine wherever you can, whether it be CVS or driving to another community or showing up at Big Shots. You know, a lot of people have been very creative and have been successful, and I wouldn't wait. I would just see where the opportunities are. The second is just to say that thus far in the, you know, above 36,000 people that we've vaccinated, we've wasted seven vaccines, and you know, falls on the floor. I mean, I couldn't tell you what happened to the seven, but I am proud of that much vaccination that our team has not wasted any. At the end of the day, if there's an empty seat, we figure out how to fill it. And it's just a great, well, for many of you that have been vaccinated and been part of our operation, it's a great operation. It's unbelievable how well run it is. And I'm really proud of the team that's put that together.
And you talked about the wasted shots. I know some centers have people sitting around hoping that somebody doesn't show up for an appointment and they can get the shot that would have gone wasted otherwise. Does UVA do that at all?
We're doing it very early on when we first were started, because we just wanted to vaccinate as many people as possible. It's not been either a possibility or an opportunity recently because people show up for their vaccines. And so it's an unusual occurrence now that we have vaccine available at the end of the day. People show up for the shots we give them. And I'm excited about that, right? It means that we're doing our job and we're doing it effectively.
So I know that UVA for the over 75, when they gave the first vaccine, automatically scheduled the appointment for the second vaccine. But the question here is, how hard is it to get an appointment for the second shot? And if they can't get a date, can it be rescheduled? But I guess the question is, so at Big Shot, do they follow UVA's approach of automatically scheduling the person for the second shot?
So I can only speak to UVA. But at UVA, when you get your first shot, you get an appointment for your second shot. And Big Shots, the Big Lots Center is UVA. I mean, we're
right.
The Kmart tent. We have people from UVA at the Kmart tent, but we, you know, PDH is running that site. But if you go to UVA and get your first shot, you'll be scheduled at that point for your second shot. I also know that if something happens and you can't make it for your second shot or there's some issue, there is a number that you can call. I should be able to tell you what it is, but I don't know. But we're really good about answering the phone and making sure that we reschedule on that. So I think we have a good system in place.
It could be the number that, it looked like I'm going to pull that back up, that one of our members found, 434-297-4VAX. Would that be UVA's number or is that somebody else?
You would think I would know the answer to that.
Well, anyway, so that is at least one number people can call.
Yes.
Dr. Kent, you talked about going out to the community and you talked about the surrounding counties and are you building outpatient centers or acquiring practices? What's the future? And I know you said you're going to do a strategic plan so that you can formalize it, but what is the thought process and how you're going to move out to Louisa and Nelson County and the like?
Yeah, no, a great question. The short answer is it is part of the strategic plan, but my sense is that we'll use every modality possible, ranging from capitalizing on some existing facilities that UVA has in some of these various regions, because we already have a presence in a variety of these communities, and expanding our workforce to perhaps building some new facilities, or even alternatively renting space and having our physicians occupy that space and provide service. I do think that what's been missing over time here is an overall strategic plan about how do we get our really wonderful physicians and programs out in the region. It's been a bit haphazard. Some of the services have done that, others have not. And it needs to be a more organizationally driven plan that's based on the patient being at the center point. Where are the patients? What kind of services can we provide at UVA Health that maybe the local community can't provide? How do we get our docs out there so that we can provide that service? So a lot of work will go in it, but my sense is that we use every modality possible to get the wonderful care that we provide out to the patients.
Fantastic. I don't see any other questions that have come in. So I want to thank you, Dr. Kent, for helping us understand not only what UVA is doing in the future, but also more about this terrible COVID-19 pandemic. And I want to thank you for what you're doing to make UVA Health System even more available for our community, because it's been a great resource for the surrounding area. And many of our members have moved to Charlottesville because of UVA's health system. So thank you. The Senior Statesman of Virginia commends you and UVA for all that you have done during this pandemic and for all of your future plans to better serve the community. So thank you, Dr. Kent. Do you want to make any last comments?
Yeah, no, just to thank you for inviting me. Love the questions. They're really great questions. I think you brought up issues that are on the minds of everyone. I'm just, again, privileged to be part of this health system, be privileged to be part of the university, and privileged to be part of a great state. I mean, I couldn't be more fortunate than to be here. Maybe just to finish, we're here, we're available. And so if there are more questions or thoughts, or if you have suggestions for us in terms of how we can better serve as a health system, feel free to reach out to me. I'm pretty accessible. I'm not that hard to track down. We want to be great. We want to be better. And all of your thoughts can help us in that journey.
And who can I call after in a few minutes to make sure we've got the right telephone number for people to call for those over 75 and over 80 to get a shot and get more information? Is there somebody in your office that I could talk to, or who should I call?
We'll call you within 5 minutes.
Fair enough. And what we will do for those on participating, we will post it on our website, seniorstatesman.org. And I hope everybody will join us for the March meeting on immigration. It should be a fascinating meeting. But again, Dr. Kent, thank you.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Enjoying being with you today.
Thanks. Bye now.
Take care.